Hello and welcome to The Sound of Theatre. My name is Emily Richards and I'm a master's student of dramaturgy at the Theatre Academy Hamburg. This podcast was created as part of the Hamburg Open Online University for the web project Accessing Theatre. In The Sound of Theatre, the interviewed musicians provide an insight into their work as live musicians, composers and sound designers at a theatre. In this episode, I'm speaking with singer-songwriter Rasha Nahas about her latest work, Blick von der Brücke, which premiered at the Thalia Theatre Hamburg in September 2021. This interview was recorded online in the midst of one of the many lockdowns of 2021, well before the premiere was able to take place. The sounds you will hear are a recording of a rehearsal. Therefore, please excuse the audio quality. Have fun listening.
Arthur Miller, A View from the Bridge, A Play in Two Acts, 1955.
Hi, Rasha.
Hey.
You recently finished rehearsing A View from a Bridge. The German title is Blick von der Brücke. It's a play by Arthur Miller, directed by Hakan Savaş-Mican at Thalia Theater Hamburg. And as so many, also your premiere was postponed. And today I would like to talk to you about your role within the production and give our listeners an insight into your job. You're a singer-songwriter and instrumentalist. And I would really like to know, when did you start working as a musician at the theatre and how did it come to that?
I started with theatre. I think theatre is a big word. Like, I started first with dancers and performance arts. And I started making music for stage, in addition to my career as a solo artist, like as a performer, like that I perform my own stuff. And I did like a theater production in Haifa in my hometown, but the budget was cut by the Minister of Culture. So I never really had back home like an option to like work. And theater, really. Like, maybe if I stayed, I would have had more options, but the experiences I had were like cut off basically by the government. And when I was in Germany, I did more like dancing and performance arts. I did like one show of a cabaret with the performance artists here in the Free Scene in Berlin. I did a dance piece. I composed the music for a dance piece in Tansim August 2 years ago, 3 years ago maybe, like in summer 2019. And I started in Thalia, basically my first experience in theater, like if you want to call it traditional, I'm not sure how much of a traditional, but like in theater, and the end of 2019 with the play Vogel. By Wajdi Malwan.
And how did you come to work at the Thalia Theatre in Hamburg? Did you know someone there, or how was the connection established?
I started working there on a play that was by a Lebanese-Canadian, I think, writer, Wajdi Malwan, and Hakan was asked to direct this piece, and he was searching for someone to sing in Arabic, or like to speak Arabic. Or that has the Arabic background that can bring it more into the piece. I performed in Gorky my own materials a year before that. And I think he asked friends around and people recommended me and I worked with him. And now I just did my second piece with Hakan at Thalia.
So could you specify like your role in the production? And describe your job, maybe?
First of all, I do the music. I'm live on stage. Like, I'm with the actors. I'm always on stage. I also play a small role. And it's... The play is basically... There's a narrator in the play, and it's Alfieri, a lawyer. And he's basically narrating the whole thing. He's, like, speaking about the settings. He's describing Eddie. And he also, like... Eddie is the main character. And... he basically has a dialogue with the figures also sometimes, but he's also narrating the whole thing. So basically my role is also like filling in the emotional moments. But also I get on stage first, I start speaking the text of Alfieri, and I join in with music. And somehow the whole event, like the whole evening, is wrapped with music and text by me. So I come and go kind of, but and there's like also another layer of video material, and it's really wrapping the play in a way, because the play is from 55, the text is from 50. It's a different world, you know. It's like we are dealing with something that is relevant today, which is patriarchy and working immigrants and all of that, but it's a play from 55, and we needed to create a context in which this play can exist in. And that is like the music and the video material.
He was as good a man as he had to be in a life that was hard and even. He worked on the piers when there was work, he brought home his pay. And he lived. And around 10 o'clock of that evening, after they had eaten, the cousins came.
Did you compose the music? Did you write it?
Yes, it was mixed. It's mixed materials. Like there's, for example, we took like one Schlager song and I changed the music of it. You know, it's a song, Schön war die Zeit.
Yeah.
Like it's
pretty common Schlager, right?
Yeah, it speaks about the homeland. It speaks about the beautiful time then. But I just took the text and made different music, for example. Because the play, for example, is about an Italian family in New York. And we wanted to make it relevant for Germany, you know, because these things don't only happen in an Italian family in New York. It happens everywhere all the time. And we wanted to make it relevant also. So we added this layer. So like, so for example, there's this song. There's one song in Arabic that I wrote, which is very much about my own personal experience. Here in Germany, which I felt was relevant. So we really bridged also between, you know, old German Schlager songs. We also used like Italian 50s songs. We used also like a song that I wrote in Arabic, being in Germany as the person I am here. So there's like, it varies from different times and different aesthetics and different narratives, but it's all wrapped in a way that is really solid, I think.
Rennen heißer Wusten sang. Fern, so fern dem Heimatland. Kein Gruß, kein Herz, kein Kuss, kein Scherz. Alles liegt so weit, so weit.
Yeah, I was wondering, because like a play about an Italian living in the US, a German production, you're from Haifa, so I was wondering which language you're singing on stage, but that's the answer, different languages.
Actually, I have 5 languages on stage when I think about it. There's like, there's one song which is a bit flamenco Spanish-ish. There's one song that is Italian. 2 songs that are Italian, sorry. English, the text of Alfieri, German and Arabic, yeah.
Wow. So, do you also speak Spanish and Italian?
No. I'm a big fan of flamenco music, and I spent some time in Spain, and I understand a bit. Like, I listen to Spanish music a lot, also like Latin and, you know, like music in the Spanish language, but also like music from all over the, like South America and as well as Spain and that. So I'm very much influenced by this music. And also Italian music. I absolutely love Italian 80s music and 70s. I think it's very euphoric.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
something very like...
And how long did you rehearse for? And what was the entire process like for you?
We rehearsed for 7 weeks, I think. Yes, 7 weeks. And we have 3 more days this week to finish everything and to like prepare it for stage when it's time for that. The process, how was it like? It's a big question, I feel, because it's like a whole life you create inside the 7 weeks. I think artistically it was a brilliant process to work with this text, to bring the references, to make it one thing musically, to work also with the text of like character, and to get the music in and to get the right mood. And sometimes as a performer myself, and as a composer, like as a solo artist, someone that just like I write my own things, I decide what I want to say on stage in a way, you know. So working in theater and working on this very specific production, most of the time less is more. Like it's a different thinking space in the brain to use. It's a different feeling place in the heart to use. It's not about, sometimes it's like doing a very simple line, one octave higher would do the job, you know. It doesn't need to be, yani, it's a different muscle to train. I don't know how to explain it really. It's
So you mean it's different from you as a musician performing on stage, you as a singer-songwriter?
Oh yeah, it's very different. It's very different. Like there are things that are very similar. Like I am on stage in the theater. I am singing. I am delivering an emotion. I am telling a story. I am a storyteller in a way. But it is very different, yes, because sometimes it's about like this... a cue, for example, where the light changes and I need to take it to somewhere completely different, you know. It's like I'm, as I said, like on stage I am narrating the evening in a way. So also with the music and with the text and mainly with the music, I need to create this drive all the time. I need to start at a certain emotion, at a certain intensity, at a certain tempo, and take what's happening to the next level, or take what's happening to the next thing that is happening. And that was that is a challenge, actually.
Yeah,
because you need to be so attentive to what's happening around you and to the energy on stage and know where you're taking it after, and to come in with the cue and just bridge it and take it somewhere else.
I was wondering, do you feel more free creatively when working in the theatre or on a theatre piece? Or do you feel like the whole theatre rules and conventions and maybe the wishes of a director are constrictive for your creativity? Because on the other hand, I thought maybe it's even, you know, more freeing because you can try out new things, different things that maybe wouldn't fit into your line that you usually pursue.
It's both. It's definitely both. My first thought, like my first impulse, was that it's constricting. Like constricting, you say? Like it's limiting.
Limiting, yeah.
But it's, I wouldn't use limiting also, because it's it has a negative aura, this word. But I feel it's I'm not there to. I'm there to deliver a vision, that the director has. I'm there to, like, I am bringing myself, I am bringing my art, I am bringing my heart, but I am definitely a medium or a tool I'm like channeling what the director has in mind, basically. It's a bigger picture that I don't always see. Like when I'm on stage, I don't see it from outside. I don't have the perspective that the director has or the audience has. So sometimes ideas can feel a bit weird for me. You know, like if the director suggests an idea, it can feel like, what are you talking about? What is it that I don't understand? Like, really? And then I need to remind myself that, no, there is a vision. I'm part of something bigger here. It's like a house and I'm one room in this house or one wall, you know?
Yeah.
And it's being part of something bigger, and it's channeling a vision that you don't necessarily see from the first place. Like that you don't always know, like you only know it in the end, you know? Only know what is it that you've been trying to fit in and create only like in the last week or something.
So I guess it's a lot about trust, right? The entire process, trust in the director. How would you describe like the collaborative process between you and the director, Hakan Savaş-Mitchan?
I really trust Hakan. I really, really trust him. Artistically, he really knows. Even though like, this play has not been easy in many ways, also like the corona restrictions, the text is too realistic, there's like some you know, there's a love story also, you cannot really show intimacy on stage, there's like you need to be far, like a meter and a half, many things you cannot do also, and the whole corona like distance between the people who are working on the production, so in many ways the production was not easy. It was full of challenges, which was also like I think great, but it was not an easy production, and I really trust Hakan, I really trust his vision, and I think that was like an anchor for me, because even though we didn't always know, even though you need to try maybe 10 times, and sometimes it happens from the first time, you have to like, yeah, I definitely trust him. He knows. He has a right instinct. He works a lot with emotions. He works a lot with the actors and with the music. He focuses on the emotions. And this, for me, I trust and I find very precious. Yeah.
That sounds great. How would you describe your collaboration also with other participants of the play or of the theater? Like the actors, or who do you work with closely other than the director?
So there is like Johannes, one of the actors, we worked on singing parts, like his character like sings basically. And Johannes never really had like this experience of singing on stage. And we worked a lot, for example, on like vocals, on presence, on delivery, on breath, on specific songs, like to really like deliver them in a way. So that was something that was really, really, really fun. And he's like a very good friend now because we worked closely on this. It was really nice. Also, the costume and the stage, definitely. They're both really amazing, and we're like, we feel that it's a team, you know? It's like, it's really like a team relationship, which is really precious. The technicians, yeah, like this piece has a lot of cues.
But I can imagine that this entire process of connecting and becoming a team building is a lot more difficult or takes a little longer due to those corona restrictions and distance and wearing masks and not being able to maybe even spend time privately outside the rehearsal rooms.
Yeah, definitely. That was very present also, because usually like we go have lunch together, or like in normal times we would go out and have lunch together, or have a drink after rehearsal. You know, it's closer definitely. And due to Corona times, you don't have the talk after the rehearsal, you know, which is so important, we realized.
For the creative process, you mean?
Yeah, to discuss what you did, to have time to just be really together and to speak and to share ideas and to, because a lot happens outside of the rehearsals and it's quite frustrating to have that by yourself.
Yeah, I can imagine. When would you say that the work on the production starts for you? Is it like with first day of rehearsals or weeks before, already thinking, creating, writing music together with the director?
It starts the moment I'm offered to do it, I think. It's like you're curious, you know, you start getting curious, you get the text, you read the text, you read about the person who wrote it, you research a bit of music in that time, in that space, in that language, and that. Definitely, yeah. And me and Hakan met three times before starting to work. And talked like things through and ideas and yeah. So it starts way before the first rehearsal, yeah.
And then did you arrive at the first rehearsal with a set of written music or suggestions, or did you together with the director develop the ideas throughout the rehearsal process?
Throughout the rehearsal process. Like we had a few starting points. But we never really, we had like a few songs to start with or moods to try or themes maybe or aesthetics, you know. I knew that, for example, I would like to try something electronic, or I would love to have a drums, or, you know, I knew more like, yeah, but it was, we didn't know much at the beginning, no.
So that brings me to the question, which instruments do you play on stage?
I play electric guitar, classical guitar, piano, bass drum. What else do I play? That's it, actually. For some rehearsals, we tried stuff with computer, we tried a synthesizer, we tried xylophone. So we did try a lot of stuff in a way. But the setup just like ended up being this, which is a real nice setup, actually. It's really nice aesthetics and it's all live. So that's really nice.
And does the theatre supply the entire equipment, or is that your own equipment, your own instruments?
Like the piano's at the theatre, the drums at the theatre. There's a classical guitar at the theatre, actually, that I also use. It's quite good. And my electric guitar and my effect and stuff I bring with me.
How would you say that you as a musician develop your ideas, and who or what inspires you?
In the play.
Yeah, in the play, maybe, I don't know, does it differentiate from all your other process as a musician? Would you say that it's different manner of creating, your thinking process, your creative process?
Yes, it is, definitely. Like I'm a songwriter. I write songs like I drink water, like I cook, you know. It's like it's my relationship with music. It's something that is very natural for me and beautiful and precious, and yeah. But it's like with theater, you're thinking differently, yeah. And sometimes that's hard for me, because I work with my emotions, you know. I have I'm feeling something or I'm thinking something. I let it out in a song, and when it's a theater piece, there's a bigger context, there's a bigger story, and it's sometimes the brain gets in the way. Like you want to. Like when I'm writing my songs, I just go with it purely 100%. But when I'm writing a song for something that needs to fit or needs to bring something to a specific context, and execute a vision that I have a certain distance from, as much as I'm involved in. I think it's something that I do have a distance from. It's different. It gets a bit tricky, like a balance of thinking things, like, you know, a balance of thinking and feeling, really. Because when it's my stuff, I allow myself to be intuitive and to be free, and I can write anything and do anything. And when there's a certain vision that needs to go together with the music, it's more challenging in a really nice way. It's a really nice muscle to train. Yeah.
And how can one imagine, like, the steps in this process? Do you think of something, have an idea, then bring it to the director, and then you try it out in the rehearsal space? Or do you come to the rehearsal with an idea, try it out, and then see if it works or doesn't work?
Most of the times, me and Hakan go over the text, and he tells me, like, here, here, and here, I think we need something to support what is happening. And then there's a song there, so we need to, like, construct, like, a theme, basically, that its peak is the song, for example. Like, there's, like, emotional peaks, and we need to, like, build them slowly to reach that peak. So I need to construct a theme maybe that, like, something from the song that develops into the song, or something completely new, or like to create basically themes for specific things that are happening, that subconsciously the viewer would relate emotionally without really pointing it out so verbally.
I read a couple of your reviews, and they all seem to highlight the theatricality of your work. And I was wondering, is that why you became interested in theatre or performance arts? Or was it the other way around? Did theatre and performance arts influence your way of performing as a singer-songwriter on stage?
I think it goes both ways, actually. Like, growing up, as a kid, it was never like something I wanted to do, to make music for theater. It was something that happened on the way, kind of in a very organic way. I really it just really happened. And I remember, like, my first shows as a singer-songwriter, like as a performer, people would say that's very theatrical. I had no idea what they're talking about. I was just, like, performing my music, basically. And then the more I got out of that, I really started asking myself, like, what's theatrical about that? And I guess there's a certain, like, way of delivering or telling a story or performing on stage that it is that, I think. I don't know what is theatrical. Everything is theatrical in a way, and everything is
true. Everything is theatrical in a way, definitely.
Yeah. But definitely the work in theater enriches that aspect of performing or of being on stage, or my relationship with the stage.
Yeah, what do you like about working in theater?
I like the magic.
What's magic about it for you?
How you create a reality from a black box. Like, you just have black box, few lights, people, music, and you just create a world in a way. And it sounds naive a bit, you know, but it's like it's really magic. It's like what one note of a guitar with a change of light and a text, and how it makes it a completely different thing, you know. And I really love it. I really, really, really love it. I love the process of, like, I don't know, having text, you know, like a few pages of text. And then it can have like a million different ways of being on stage, you know, and all these, from the smallest decisions to the biggest decisions, and how everything comes together. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, true. Pretty magical. Maybe also a naive question, but what's it like as an English speaker working at a German-speaking theater? Did you encounter any hurdles?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's like, it was one of my main challenges and things that were really hard for me. I understand German, like, and especially after 7 weeks of production of reading a German text, something gets in your brain, you know, that you can speak it. But I don't speak that, like, I speak, but I cannot really communicate ideas and big topics in German in a smooth way in a production, you know, with all the stress that a production has. So it was definitely a challenge. And also the text is in German, so I need to, all the cues are in German. And you need to pay extra attention because sometimes the text is so fast and I'm playing music while they're speaking and I need to like focus on my playing, but also look at the actor giving me a cue to go to the next thing when it's like so fast. And it's like really a different level of focus that I have, which is really nice. It's not ideal. Like I would love to understand everything and I would love to also take more part in what's happening, being like, because it's happening in German and sometimes I just like not always have the access to it, but it's interesting, it's good.
And was German or English the language of the entire rehearsal process?
It was mainly German. Like me and the director always spoke English. Okay. Like I spoke English with people. Like not like I speak German, but it's really not at the level to like communicate in a work production with the stress and the sharpness that is needed. So it was mainly in English, but the work with the actors was in German.
Okay, and did you read the play in English and then in German?
Basically, I have like the original play by Arthur Miller, like the English version, and a small book. And in the rehearsals, I'm always like following with the book, basically, and following the what they're saying and learning the cues and marking it. Like it was important for me to understand, you know, what's happening. What are they saying? What is this scene? What is like what's happening in the scene? What's the emotion of this scene?
Would you say that you're able to reach different people with your music at Thalia Theater Hamburg than you do with your album, your new album Desert, for example?
So definitely, yeah, I reached different kind of audiences in Thalia. It's like I'm happy to be able to reach people with different backgrounds, different interests, different everything. Yeah, also like music. The music world is a lot more accessible than the theater world. If I ask you to give me like five songs that you like, if I ask someone random on the street to give me five songs that they like or five theater plays, you know, I think five songs will be easier or more people will have answer to that. I think music is a lot more accessible. Unfortunately, yeah, even though like theater is really one of the oldest art forms in the world. But unfortunately, theater is not as accessible. Yeah, like usually with music, you have the potential to reach more people than a theater play that is, you know.
Yeah.
It's less accessible.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, through all the streaming platforms, but it's also a real financial issue, isn't it? Like you can have a Spotify subscription, but going to the theater is a lot more expensive than streaming music on YouTube where it's for free or on Spotify.
It's true, yeah. Is it only financial? I'm trying to think.
I don't think it's only financial. I think it's one aspect.
Maybe there is.
I think the way German-speaking state theaters, if you want to call it that, have an image that don't really invite certain groups of people to join. It's very I think you could say even elitist. It's not very diverse. So
definitely, I was about to say that,
because what you see on stage is not very diverse. the audience is not very diverse, because who would want to come and see something that has nothing to do with you? I think that's why it's a very small audience that you can reach with theatre in comparison, as you said, to music, where it's a lot more accessible and interesting for a lot more people, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, unfortunately, like, theatre does have this eliteness, definitely. I don't like that, personally. Think that, like, if, like, not only theater but art in general, it should be reflecting what's happening, and it should be relevant for today's issues, and it has a responsibility. Like, artists have responsibility, I feel, and I feel that very often theater is very comfortable. It's like it's creating in the comfort zone. It's creating in the things within the things that you can say. It's very diplomatic, I feel. It's nice to be diplomatic, but I feel it's also important to be to go to the edges and to speak about the big elephants in the room and to be radical about stuff. Radical not as in, like, I feel there's a difference between extreme and radical. I think extreme is something, but I think radical comes with responsibility, comes with theory, comes with awareness, and it's important for art, for stages, and for especially like theaters that really have the means to execute and the freedom to create and to realize visions. And like, I think it's important to create on the edge. Like, what's the edge? Like, to be a bit more relevant, maybe. It's very important, not only in theater and many art productions, and that's why I like music, you know. Especially like if you take hip hop and stuff, you know, it's so down to earth. It speaks the shit, you know. It speaks the real things, you know. It speaks about life. It speaks about relevant things. It speaks about problem. It's political. It's about, yeah. And I feel, for example, other conceptual music, for example, can be less accessible. I don't know. It's a big topic, yeah.
Definitely. But yeah, I totally agree with you. Would you say that you, as a part of this production, try to push towards the edge? Or would you say that you also keep in this comfort zone, as you described it beforehand?
I think Hakan is already making it edgy a bit. Okay, so the play is about like Italian immigrant family in New York, and they welcome two illegal immigrants that are coming to work. And it's from 55. And Hakan himself being like German-Turkish, and he's a son of like working immigrants, parents that came to Germany to work in the 70s. He brought in this layer, definitely. So there's a whole video layer of archive material, which is showing like the working immigrants in Germany in the 70s, from all backgrounds, like Turkish, Arab, everywhere really. So there is this layer already in the piece. And there is also another layer in the video, which is Hamburg today. So like I speak in the first sentence, this is Red Hook, this is not Sicily, this is the gullet of New York. And there's like a huge video art of the harbor in Hamburg. So it is bridging like between New York in the 50s, Germany in the 70s, and the reality today, which I think is already taking this play and making it relevant for today and a bit more critical, definitely. And I think also me as a narrator, I do it in English with my accent, and singing these five languages. And you know, it's not only Arabic, or it's not that, like we did do the German, we took like it's a wider narrative, I feel, which is definitely also taking it a bit to an edge. Yes.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to see it. Where can listeners find your music if they want to listen to it? YouTube, Spotify?
like all streaming services, it's also digitally and like limited edition vinyl and CD, and it's available in shops in Germany.
Cool. And have you got another theatre production planned? Anything in view?
Yeah, actually, it's still not official. It's an Arabic speaking ensemble, and I'm very excited about that. Yeah, it's still not finalized. Still not sure that it's gonna take place and when, if I'm involved, but that's the next thing.
Cool. Yeah, but I think we can come to an end now. So thank you very much for that interesting insight into your job and work as a musician, singer-songwriter at the theatre. It was lovely speaking to you, and I really hope to be able to see the production soon.
Thanks so much for the questions.
Thank you. I would like to thank Hamburg Open Online University, as well as Accessing Theatre, for providing the means in order to realise this project. Also special thanks to Thalia Theatre Hamburg for enabling the cooperation, and of course many thanks to Rashna Haas.